That's about as much as we can play before we're going to get copyright strike. So welcome to the January 2018 episode of the Every Second Matters podcast, or whatever we're calling it, the get-together. We get together on the second day of each month, and we talk about the second. Today we're broadcasting on YouTube, on the Every Second Matters YouTube channel. We're simulcasting over at gunchannels.com, as well as the on website's Instagram account. So thanks everybody that showed up for the chat. We've got a couple of people joining live. We've got Clover from Texas. There may not be there. Then we got, here we go.
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for the invite.
Yep. We got Moon jumping in from Pennsylvania.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yep. Got Dano jumping in from Illinois.
Glad to be here.
And HBS from Hawaii.
Aloha.
I'm down here in Arizona, so we've got pretty much the country spread out here, and then we got viewers jumping in. Well, there's the four of us, and then maybe one other viewer. So we got a couple people watching on Instagram. Feel free to chat. We're watching the chat on YouTube and on Gun Channels.
Viewers jumping in.
This all started as a group of people that did live chats, experimenting, playing with the interactive nature of YouTube. And the live chats, so we'll encourage people to use the chats and the people in the chat here to pay attention to those live chats. And where are we going to take it? I'm kind of disappointed in the turnout today, but what are you going to do? It's a busy year, I guess. A lot of things to do. People are going to be bothered. But thanks for you guys.
Well, that's one hell of a way to kick it off.
Yeah, we can be a little more upbeat than that. This is be the year of liberty, I think, and freedom will just sprout its wings across our nation, and the people will be free.
Right on. I'd like to think that. That'd be awesome. I haven't got much response. I can only judge from likes and views on stuff I put out there, and the stuff I put out there with 2018 rah, rah, rah has been left with about the same results as filling up a balloon with lead, I think.
Well, I'm sure that could think of something positive to say, but I haven't started drinking yet. So give me some time to get started.
I know. Well, I'm optimistic, so change my mind. What are we going to do in 2018 to keep this thing going? It's crazy.
We're going to kick the rest of the Democrats out of the House and Senate and replace them and replace the rhinos, and 2018 is going to be a great year.
I'll put a link out both on Gun Channels as well as out on YouTube in just a moment here. But in the Federal Register, the ATF has had a request for comment on bumps by stocks. And there are three groups that can comment. There are manufacturers, that's one group. The other is retailers. And the third group is consumers, which is basically most of us. And currently, they have 30 days from when they publish it. Of course, they published it on Christmas. So it expires in 23 days on January 25th. On the link that I'm going to put out there, you simply click on submit a formal comment, and they're looking for, certainly go ahead and put whatever you want to put in there. But I would suggest, giving it a brief read to find out what sort of comments they're looking for so that your comment does not get disregarded. Because I think there is something, especially on two of the questions, that we can answer. But you really, I don't want to tell people what to do or what to say other than give it a short read and then click on submit your opinion. And
what are you talking about? You're talking about some kind of pre-written boilerplate somewhere?
No, up at the very top, you can click on submit your response. That green button.
Okay.
And that's where you type in your comments.
Okay. Cam, I'm looking on the. You didn't put it on the
gun channels, every second matters, did you?
I'm going to put it out there right now.
Okay, thank you. Awesome.
There's the one. Okay, it's over on gun channels. Now let me put it on YouTube. So I think I can put it on this one. We'll see. Oh, I guess I'll need to
type something.
G-Webs, you to post that over on YouTube?
Yeah, you got to type something. Otherwise, I can't make you mine.
Oh, okay. Because I put it in the internal chat, the link as well.
Yeah, I've already posted the link. I'm saying you got to type something on the YouTube side for me to click on, right-click on you. Make that my mod to show you how easy it is. All right, so I think that obviously we got it right on the opinion. We did it with the MA55 successfully. But if you have the potential to go a lot more than do a lot more than just reverse disposition.
And the things that they're looking for from consumers, which we all fit that category, and I'll go ahead and read the question so at least you know what they're looking for our comments on. In your experience, where have you seen these devices for sale? Of which of these have been most the common outlet from which consumers have purchased these devices, i.e. brick and mortar, retail stores, online vendors, gun shows, or other events, or private sales between individuals? Question number two for consumers, it's based on your experience or observations. What is or has been the price range for these devices? Question number three is the one where I think we can actually put something there to maybe get something in our direction. For what purposes are the bump stock devices being used or advertised? And for me, I'm at least what I give it thought, what I think of it is I see them being used for legal purposes, both used and as advertised. That is my response. Now, if somebody else can think of a better way to phrase things or something that might get more traction, I'd be all for that.
What are you talking about? The number four, where it says under manufacturers?
No, under consumers, number 23. There, are, it starts with 20 for question 21, then 22, then 23.
Okay. Yeah. So they're asking us as consumers to answer these three questions?
Yes.
Okay. 21, 22, 23. I see that.
And it's question 23. And it's question 23 that I think phrased it the right way. We might get across our real thoughts.
Yeah, have you read all the questions? Because we covered this on Friday too. Did you read the questions for manufacturers and dealers? It's like they're trying to compile information.
But everybody is a consumer.
Well, I understand that, but it gives you some insight on what's going on. It's like they're trying to figure out if it's worth their time, more or less. That's what I get out of the questions.
You know, the thing about when we had the green tips is there were boilerplates that were very easy, and because the whole thing went just viral on the internet. I mean, seriously, you could. It was like crazy how viral the search term green tips went. I don't think that's going to happen for bump stocks, but I thought it was kind of convenient to have boilerplate stuff to send in. I mean, their fax machine was overloaded beyond belief anyway.
They're contemplating legislation based on media attention of a specific item that we don't even have any evidence that it was used. You don't think that could have any leverage for somebody like Rush Limbaugh or one of them other figureheads who likes to complain about the overreach of the left?
Well, it's important, and it is overreach, and it's the Second Amendment issue. I just don't see it going viral like Green Tips did. I mean, it was insane. I mean, how viral it went.
How does something go viral? Does it go viral always by accident, or can it be affected?
I'm pretty sure like the big YouTubers on Facebook and social media made it go viral, and they're pretty much going to do the same with this.
Yeah, I don't know about the mechanics, but I mean, my experience was I just had like, I could make videos, I could turn on the the hangout with just myself and ammo search.com or what, some of those websites that sell ammo online, and see if there were green tips, and I would get like 1,000 viewers, and it was just insane. and I have a nothing channel compared to like some of the big YouTubers, and so yeah, I think it was like one of those panics. Was it, maybe it was close to Sandy Hook or something. I can't recall the exact sequence of what made it go viral.
No, what I think it was 2015.
It was focused on by many of the YouTube channels, and then it made the leap from YouTube to syndicated AM radio, and it went from there to television. So I remember it happening. And that time it was on accident, and it's one of the things that made me optimistic that we have the potential in the right set of circumstances. In this case, we have no violence. We have no indication that any crime was ever committed with one. Yet we have, again, an overreach. We have a reaction that's unnecessary. And
was the Las Vegas shooter definitely confirmed to use one of these things?
No, they haven't come out and said anything as far as what's definitely been used. There's been speculation, but that's the whole problem. There, nothing, no one's come out and said that he actually used a bump fire stop.
Isn't there a coroner's report or a something recently came out, doctors?
Yeah, but a coroner's report is not going to come out and, you know, and say it was a bump fire stock. He's not going to have a clue.
Well, no, he's going to know which calibers were used.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if they're ever going to come out and say exactly what weapons were used and what modifications, if any, were used. You know, I don't know.
I mean, it's right up there with, you know, where's the video footage that they absolutely have.
I think this kind of thing's going to wind up off
topic.
None of that's going to happen before this 30 days or last 20 something days.
Well, no, no.
So no, but you can educate the ATF on the fact that we know that they haven't told us anything, and as far as we know, nobody has used it in a crime.
And that's where I think it's important to say, as far as a response, we've never seen one either used or new used in a illegal fashion.
Let me throw a question out there to you guys and see what you think. I mean, obviously the ATF, I mean, these people are, they know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. They know the answer to this question already. But do you think that they're doing this to show public support for not regulating bump fire stocks? I mean, what is the reasoning behind this?
They're required to by law.
If they're going to make changes. But what I'm saying to you is do you think that they're going to do, they're doing this as a charade? Surely they know the answers to the questions. If we know the answers, then they know the answers. So yes. My question is this a big charade just to appease the other side or what?
It is a way to measure the possible either blowback or lack of blowback that they might receive.
Right.
Okay, we can assume all we want, but if there's a massive outcry on the other side to ban these things, and this is one step in that process, then this is an opportunity for that to occur. So,
I'm not saying don't do this. I'm saying most definitely do this. I'm just trying to figure out. The question was for me, it's just, you know, why all of a sudden did this come up and become an issue? I'm all for it. Absolutely go fill it out and all that, 100%.
I think what you're trying to get at is I've heard the concept that this is a dog and pony show, a meant to be theater, so that conclusion that's already assumed can take place officially or whatever.
Correct. That's what I'm getting at. Yes. You just happen to word it better.
I think that we as the gun community would be doing our future a disservice by simply letting it go, like we did with the M855. When a regulatory and enforcement agency takes it upon themselves to overreach and you slap their hand, if a child is doing something and you slap their hand, are they going to do it again? Yeah, right?
right? They're going to keep doing it to test the water, right? But if you if they're doing something seriously dangerous, like touching a stove, you're going to slap their hand. You might yell even because you're startled. And then you might scold them. And then you might give them a consequence, a punishment. Because even what they did was unaware, you know, there might be some consequences. So they know just no matter what, don't do that again. So if they are doing this as a pony show, or if they're not, if they're just doing it because it's part of the regulations that they have, or if they're doing it to, by the 4D chess of the NRA, I don't care what the motives are. If they're doing it, we, as the people who are being affected by it, are doing our future a disservice. And by that, I mean ourselves and our kids and their kids and their kids, because our actions echo down through time. If we do nothing here, if we just watch it go by like we did on 8x5, what have we effectively done? We've slapped their hand and said, don't do it till next time.
Well, we didn't let anything go by on 8x5.
We didn't do anything with 8x5. We slapped their hand, they took their hand away, and now they're doing it again. If we would have been effective with 8x5 and said, don't you ever, they wouldn't be doing this today. Right. We didn't take that opportunity. I'm suggesting we take that opportunity this time. And we don't just, that doesn't just happen. You don't, as spectators, watch it happen unless there's somebody playing, you know, with the strings. Otherwise, we're the ones playing with the strings. And we tell our people who we have access to what we want to see happen, who have larger audiences, and then they yell to the next level up, and they yell until it's, again, has an echo, has ripples in the water, has consequences that their political strategists go, I don't want to ask them stuff again. Like what happened last time we asked them stuff.
Can we talk about the three consumer questions here so people have so I know how to answer all these questions, and the listeners know how to answer some of these questions. 21, 22, and 23. So in your experience, where have you seen these devices for sale? And which of these has been the most common outlet from which consumers have purchased these devices? Brick and mortar, online vendors, gun shows, or similar events, or private sales between individuals?
Well, that's going to be kind of a personal thing. I know for me, it's primarily online. I don't think I've ever seen a bump stock in a store around here. Not in a brick and mortar.
I was just at my little gun shop today filming a video with the guys, and I actually asked them that very question. We were talking about this ATF thing. And he says that he has never carried it, nor has he ever had one single person come in and request to, special order one. So, and G's been to this shop, and it's been here a long time, and he's never once had a request for one. So I don't know if that's common or not. I don't know.
Yep. I know. I've seen him everywhere. I mean, I guess from brick and mortar to online.
Guess it depends which part of the country you live in.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw one at a local gun store several years back, never seen one since, but I've seen them online numerous times.
But that's like a trick question because you can see anything online more than you could anything else.
So the unasked question is, why are they asking that particular question? I mean, do you think they want to use our answers to ban online sales?
Yeah,
they could. Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're trying to do, is to, and I think G and other people have talked for years over the gun show loophole, quote unquote, and all that. And I think that this might be a chance for them to try to tighten up some of the online things as well.
Yeah, maybe they want to turn it into like a serialized part or something like that.
Yeah, could be.
This should be the belt loop loophole, because, I mean, you could do the same thing with a belt loop.
What are you talking about?
That's right.
Which one?
The belt loop, the loophole.
What number are you talking about?
21.
Yeah, it worries me because it's almost like they're not asking the questions they need to be asking.
Yeah.
You know, are they doing that because they already know the answer to that and this is just sort of a ruse? Or are they doing that because they've been made their mind up and, they're looking to see how much revenue is going to be generated?
Yeah,
that was my whole issue with that question earlier.
Posing the answer couched in a question.
Yeah, it's like they want to, maybe they want to tax online sales of this stuff, or just add some, like, new tax to bump fire stocks or something.
Well, there could be the new stamp. I mean, that could be the new thing, you know, is you have to go wait 9 months to a year for your bump fire stock should you want to get one. I don't know.
It'll be like one person in an office somewhere in Washington, D.C.
Wouldn't they have to change the definition of what a full auto is?
Technically, they would. And that's the scary thing, is the second that they start changing or even contemplating changing the wording of a definition, it's not going to be just bump fires, guys. That's the scary part of this.
You know, I think my answer would be, well, I can buy pants with belt loops at Walmart, and I could use that to bump fire my rifle. So I really don't see the point.
I don't know that I would word it like that, but. Yeah, I mean it boils down to they're relating a rate of fire issue with a mechanical issue, and it's two different things.
Yes, because even with a bump fire stock, we're still talking one trigger pull for one round.
Yeah, the difference is
we're talking rate of fire. Right. We're not talking about
their decision on it. Their decision on that item is based on
the definition as it stands now. The definition as it stands now is a mechanical definition. It is not a rate of fire definition.
Yeah.
Right. But a drop in trigger pack.
The rate of fire issue is going to be prevalent? I mean, is this the direction that we're going instead of talking fully automatic and semi-automatic? Is it going to be rate of fire issues? And I think that that's where this whole conversation is heading, is rate of fire.
And that's usually where they're pushing the trigger packs and all sorts of devices that allow you to shoot faster.
That's right. 15-round magazines, guys, could increase the rate of fire. Let's be honest about it.
So can my pants with a belt loop. Are they going to regulate that? It's just,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's the conversation that they're trying to bring up now.
And so what is the right answer to this question?
There is no right answer. The question is there doesn't need to be any, as far as the ATF goes, none of this has to move forward. There's nothing that they can do that's going to help anything except for leaving it alone. If they change anything, it's going to be bad.
This reminds me of a multiple choice question test in school or something, where they give you the choices here and then, but they're all wrong. And if you answer anyway, but what they want, then they're just going to say, you got this answer wrong.
Well, the thing is, right, so I was looking through all these things, and I find it interesting. Like you were saying, I forget who it was. Sorry, I'm a little out of it. I'm not feeling well. But it's very interesting, like, they asking about, like, for the manufacturers, how long have you been in business? Like, what process are you involved in, blah blah blah. Same with retailers, like, where do you sell it, what, how many you sell, and then when they ask the customers, where do you see it for sale, how much approximately does it cost, like all of those things, like every question from 22 up is kind of like, how many of these things exist and like how much do they cost. Now my thinking is, are they considering of doing a forced confiscation? And then they're worried they're going to have to pay you for it, so they want to try and figure out how much it's going to cost.
All of the above.
And then the other question, which is like, you know, what are they used for? I know Dano had a response to something like, you know, for lawful purposes or whatever. But, yeah, I would just add on, like, you know, recreational sport shooting or something. You know,
I would put something along the lines of all lawful sporting and recreational purposes. That how I worded that. So,
yeah, but then again, I hate the phrase sporting use. So,
same here.
Well, that's why I don't want to have to say we in there too, to have this because we use them for sporting. I want to say I put lead in dirt in the middle of nowhere because I'm allowed to. That's why.
We're getting off the question that they're asking and how, what's the right answer, which is like almost none of the above. I mean, the question is, where have you seen these devices for sale? And
how many of the things, like, you know, they want to know how common they are. Are they just online? Are they in stores? Like, that's,
they want to know what the,
Well, you need to answer that one.
What to crack down on.
Yeah, they want to know what the point of sale is so they can regulate it. Yeah.
But answer that, you know, you've got to answer that honestly. I don't think there's a got you in that necessarily. They're expecting diversity in those answers because of different demographics in different areas.
Now, let me ask this, because I will admit to have not written anything yet. My bad. Probably should have already by now, but I didn't. Anyways, when you actually go through, because this is just like the summary of this is what we're thinking about, and we're curious about these 23 things. When you go to click on the thing, does it just like give you the questions, or is it just an open box so you technically can write anything you want? Just the stuff that they're looking for is things that relate to those questions.
It's an open box.
It's an open box. Okay.
It's an open box. You don't have
to sit there and just write, number one, I see them here. Number two, it cost me $50. Number three,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. You can just say.
I think I'm going to answer that I saw them at Toys R Us.
But if you want your questions to be taken into serious consideration, you should reference, okay, their numbering system with your numering system.
Right.
Yeah, well, sure. I saw them at Toys R Us, and I would like the ATF to regulate all the Nerf guns at Toys R Us as well.
I would answer their questions first. That's what I would suggest. I would suggest answering their questions first. Answer them honestly, because, like I said, they're going to be expecting that diversity. And then turn around after that and then put your comments. You know, come back in with, you know, hey, you guys are looking at changing and adding something to a definition that it has nothing to do with. Mechanical definition has nothing to do with the rate of fire, particularly when there's no way to establish a baseline rate of fire.
Yeah, I think my question would be, this question is wrong because A, B, C. And then that'll take me a while to figure out exactly why it's wrong. Like you're saying, rate of fire versus mechanical.
Right. I think, you know, maybe we're focusing too much on what should we say? The biggest thing is at least say something. And if you phrase it wrong, okay, fine. And I won't say wrong. If you're not as eloquent as maybe some other people are, fine. But just tell them what you think. I personally am considering just copy and pasting the definition of semi-auto and the definition of full auto, or probably just full auto, and then just say, where's the part where the trigger only moves once and more bullets come out? It doesn't? Okay, why are you considering this? You guys are dumb. But, you know, in a nicer way.
Okay, Fit 22, based on your experience or observation, what is or has been the price range for these devices? Hey, Mike, what my answer to that will be, if you're going to ban them, the price is going to go up really quick.
Yeah, well, that's not what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's an answer that will be disregarded. Again, if you want your answer to be considered, you have to frame it in a way that they will accept, and they will not accept that if that is a legitimate answering of their question.
No, I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, they are giving guidelines to the types of things they want to know. Yeah. If other people volunteer other information that they're not necessarily looking for, but they have so many people saying, hey, you guys shouldn't ban these, you're dumb. And like I said, in a nicer way, you know, it doesn't matter if they wanted to hear that or not. They're going to hear that. Someone's going to read that. And
yeah, I mean, Moonfood could say, Moonfood could say exactly what he said in the pre-chat, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, as a bare minimum, it also shows them, which we mentioned before Smeggy got here, is how much potential blowback might they be if they do something. That's the other thing that's not being asked, but just simply by the number of respondents they will be measuring.
Right, and I don't think they're going to categorize it as people who answered our questions exactly versus people who wrote their own thing. They're going to look at it and say, holy crap, like 2 million people wrote us a letter. That's ridiculous. We're not messing with them anymore. That's kind of going back to G-Web's thing of let's smack them and smack them hard. And say,
I think what's going to happen is they're going to be taking like a pro and con, and they're just going to keep track of how many responses are pro and how many responses are con.
And yeah, they'll look at it, they'll look at a handful of questions just to kind of get an idea of where that person falls, and then they'll just put it as a check mark on that side. I think you're right, because there's no way they're going to read all of this answers to every single one of these.
Then let me ask you, why would they have put it in an open text situation?
Mm-hmm. Right. They're required to by law.
No, they're not required to put it in any format. They're required to put a 30-day thing, but they could have easily, if they wanted a poll, they could have put little check boxes that would have been easily tallied by a database. So they did it in this way for a reason. And I think I agree with DF2Dot more than any of you that they're absolutely screwing us. We should be talking about getting share back off the shelf, and instead we're defending a piece of crap, piece of plastic that only exists to comply with their stupid law that they're not actually asking us about. They're asking us about a minutia, and we're spending a heck of a lot of time on it. I'm only going to conclude with, think about it. You got a government agency who's putting out a 30-day questions and answers thing. Do you seriously think they're going to devote time to read every one of these? I think the best thing you can put in there is don't declassify anything. And short and sweet, give them an answer. I don't believe they're putting it in a checkbox, but at the same time, I don't think you need to put paragraphs about your definition of what, you know, devices are and all that. Take that time and effort instead of trying to educate the ATF and educate your audiences. Most of the people I think we're talking to here have channels. Even if you don't put out stuff on a continual basis, Google, right? Nexus, Lexus, those kind of things, whatever they're called, will go out and see, oh, well, we put out a 30-day request thing, and there's been a 790% increase in videos saying, you know, talking about why the bump shot should not be illegal. That's the kind of stuff that we can affect change with as well, not just answering this thing.
Well, there's not a lot of chatter out there. That's what Too Hotty was asking earlier about. You know, has anybody seen anything on Instagram about, you know, this comments period and everything? And I haven't seen a lot. I haven't seen a lot anywhere.
Well, let's talk about
how we lose the battle by death by a thousand paper cuts. Is never saying
on Christmas Eve. And how much time can there possibly have been? People have been with their families, living their actual lives.
Yeah, I mean, we're not. You know, that's what, you know, I had a couple of people Friday that were talking about, you know, who on the panel has done this yet? And I mean, it doesn't matter if you submit it today or you submit it 2 days before, you know, as long as it gets there before the deadline, that's what matters.
Exactly.
And yeah, people have plenty of time to create their videos or their blog posts or their Instagrams or their Facebook posts or whatever. There's still plenty of time for that.
Yeah, the government always releases things that they don't really want an answer, or they want nobody to pay attention to, like right before Christmas or right before a holiday or a Friday night when everybody's gone home, and that's just how
take out the trash day, you know.
All right. Well, I have something else to do today. Let's fill out this form.
Just because you're getting bit by a mosquito doesn't mean you ignore it. You still smack it and crush it and then move on.
Yeah, I think I will include that famous.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Gosh, I think I'm going to include the famous alcohol, tobacco, and firearm should be a convenience store, not a government institution.
I'd go to that store every day. That'd be a great store to go to.
Yeah, except I'm not allowed
to. Back up on booze, smokes, and guns. Hell yeah.
I'm not allowed to smoke anymore, otherwise, I would too. So. Never enough alcohol. All right.
I definitely think it's auspicious timing that they put it out right before Christmas, knowing that it's Christmas. Then the week between Christmas and New Year's, no one's really doing anything. Then you've got 2 or 3 days after New Year's. So you're looking at, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks where there's going to be very, very little public opinion on this because everyone's doing their holiday stuff. So maybe that's why they put it out when they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they do very many things accidentally.
Exactly.
Well, it's the 28th, which is a few days after SHOT Show. So I think we've got a potential here. You know, I've been interested in trying to capitalize on the entire industry being together in the same town for a period of days. And it's possible at this to, again, get massive amount. I mean, think about how much commotion there's been about the stupid Glock 19, which is also released on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
I'm out of it. I'm out of it. What is the commotion about the Glock 19?
The Glock 19X. It's the Glock 19 upper on a Glock 17 lower. It's the quote unquote military version of the Glock 19.
Wait, full auto or?
No, it's just a pistol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course, it's full auto. That's why they're going to be letting it be sold.
I mean, I'm just wondering, it's because of the word military. I mean, what's unique about this upper?
Oh, you've got the old flat dark earth color combinations, or actually it's a desert camo color, actually. I don't know, but it's just a new. Yeah, it's just like a new Glock 19 toy. I mean, it's like I said, it's a 19 upper on the 17 lower, and so
I'm happy with my 17 the way it is, so whatever.
So back to the ATF. Is this the same ATF that just relaxed the restriction on shouldering the SIG brace? And like a few months before that, they leaked a white paper.
Yeah, it's also under the direction of the DOJ. So you're talking about Jeff Sessions,
right?
Well, but we're also talking about deep state stuff here. I mean, I don't know.
He's talking about deep state stuff. Can Moon finish his thought?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they changed guard or what, or if like if it's the same group, if it's the same people that relaxed that restriction and leaked that white paper and everything, then I'm thinking that maybe they're doing this just as a show for anti-gun people, and they're not really regulating it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not planning on doing any of that, but the questions make me second guess that a little. So,
yeah. You know, the problem is you can't trust
who works there, and you know, who's the head of what.
On the other hand, since they're government employees that are in charge of this, I'm going to leap to the assumption that they actually don't know what the heck they're doing.
I don't know. I don't think
I can believe that.
Well, the way I kind of see it is that they were, you know, there was political pressure, that, you know, media pressure, there was whatever. Jeff Sessions is sitting up there, and so they do this political play. They throw it over to the ATF. The NRA comes out. The NRSA says, "Oh, well, we're not for additional regulations, but if something can be done under existing regulations, you know, then we're okay with that." And then, so, you know, so they're basically saying, okay, throw it to the ATF and let the ATF figure this out. Well, everybody knows that if there hasn't been a turnover at the ATF, which there hasn't, then everybody knows where that's going. I mean, look at how many times that while Obama was president, and the Republicans didn't have the Senate or the White House. Look at how many times they repealed Obamacare, and then look at where we sit now, where they control everything and they can't get nothing done. There's a lot of political play that goes on, and I don't know that this is not. I mean, I tend to lean that this is all political play. That being said, that we still have to be vigilant and be diligent about getting our opinions in and making our comments heard, because that's something that they're going to be able to fall back on. Regardless, that gives them clout to then come back and say, look, we gathered all of this information. You know, we stand behind the way that our definitions are and the regulations are now. You know, and it gives them, what's the word? I mean, it updates, I guess, their decision to not do anything. And I mean, maybe ultimately, maybe that's what they're looking for. It's political grandstand put on them by the powers that be, and they want our support in making the right decision.
I guess all we can do in our position is to just, this is our chance to tell the government exactly what we think. So that's, I guess, what I'm going to do in my response.
Yeah, we have to seize that opportunity regardless.
So the head of the ATF right now is Deputy Director Brandon, who was given the responsibility in 2015 when he became the acting director, and he's still just been the acting director since. So we have not had a change in anything since they got rid of Holder.
Trump didn't appoint anyone new?
No.
All right, because I believe it was the second to that guy that wrote the white paper that was leaked, and then
Turk.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah, just so when you start talking about leaking, that's a classic deep state thing, and I know you don't want me to say that word, but I mean, it's just that's a tactic of, you know, government employees that have been there forever that want to.
Also, the reaction of everybody that wants to see a conspiracy every time a thing happens.
It was never connected to the deep state when it came out. It was just a real document from the ATF that was leaked by someone in the ATF that got online, and everybody got to read it. And it was about relaxing regulations on suppressors and a few other things.
I was just commenting on the act of leaking itself. That's all.
So as far as it being a political thing, is it have much consequence? Is it Obamacare? Is it something that most people care about? If you asked them to list the important things in politics right now, it's not going to be the bump stocks. It's not going to be the suppressors. It's not going to be share. It's not going to be HR 38. So does a noisy minority have, is it effective? I'd suggest every single thing that we've done has been started by a noisy minority, and something that doesn't have a massive objection to it can easily be passed through. Urging from them. Let's see.
Another echo.
Well, if we've wrapped that up, I'd like to take a couple minutes to change topics. That's cool with you guys.
Yep.
Lead on.
All right, rock on. So, as you guys know, I like doing monthly updates of what's been going on at the state level. December was a pretty slow month, but I got a couple things here. So, the one thing, which actually kind of ties into what we were just talking about, only at the state level, and that's coming out of New Mexico. And, you know, the 2018 session doesn't even start for another month, but they've already, like, pre-filed some legislation. So-and-so, whatever his face, has House Bill 17, which it would make it a crime to possess firearm accessory, blah, 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 blah. And then it says, or that is designed or functions to accelerate the rate of fire of a semi-automatic firearm. So they're trying it at the state level, and, you know, that's not just bump stocks. It's going to be a lot of other things. Hopefully it will get shot down and won't go through, but that just shows you right there, you know, this is going to be, this whole rate of fire thing is going to be a fight we're going to have to deal with for a while.
Yeah, and if it passes in one state, then all the other states will copy it. All the blue states will copy it.
So, all right, so that's from New Mexico. The next one here. Over in North Dakota, this is a pro thing. Basically, it's clarifying that there's the attorney general issued an opinion that clarifies constitutional carry law, which was House Bill 1169, and basically just clarifies and saying that does indeed allow for the carrying of loaded firearms in vehicles by law-abiding residents without needing to first obtain a fire carry license. So there was a little gray area of, are you allowed to carry in your car or not? And so North Dakota, they've said, yep, you can constitutionally carry in your car. So that's pretty good. Then over in Delaware, there was a case that went up to the Supreme Court of Delaware, and it struck down some regulations that were anti-gun. So this is another actual victory for rights. I just want to read this from the Delaware's state constitution, Article 1, Section 20, and then this is in quotes, to keep and bear arms for the defense of self, family, home, and state, and for hunting and recreational use. That's the only part that's quoted in here. I'm guessing it's, you know, protecting the right to keep and bear arms, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so the court looked at that and decided that the Department of National Resources and Environmental Control had prohibited displaying, possessing, or discharging a firearm anywhere in the park land or anything that's controlled by the DNR EC. And so the court has basically struck that down saying, hey, you can't do that because our citizens are allowed to, you know, keep and bear arms for defense of self, family, home, and state, and for hunting and recreational use. Therefore, you should be allowed to carry in the parks. So that was pretty cool. And then over in, this was a hearing that took place and I didn't follow up. This was back for December 15th in Massachusetts. There was a hearing for Senate Bill 2063, which basically would be limiting law-abiding citizens to one firearm purchase or transfer per month. Actually, let me click on this, see if I can figure out if they voted on that yet, since that was halfway through the month. But
one is the loneliest number. I mean, how do they come up with that number?
I don't know. So, I'm not seeing any other action. That's the most recent action that's displayed on the state level website. So I guess they just had the hearing. They never voted on it yet. Hopefully people showed up to the hearing and they said, you guys are ridiculous. And especially with the whole transfer thing, you know, sometimes you have to, the law forces you to like officially transfer something if you let someone borrow your gun. So that means if you let your buddy borrow your gun, he can't give it back to you till the next month. And then you can't buy something new until he gives it back to you. And then you have to wait another month to buy something new. So now letting your buddy borrow your hunting rifle means you can't buy a gun for 3 months.
That's surprised that gun control laws make no sense. But
yeah, I know. Well, I'm just trying to keep everyone up to date. So then last one, this is kind of small one, but it's, you know, it's, everything's important. Every little piece is important. This is over in Missouri, where the Librarian Association, what the heck is that? Yeah, the Missouri Librarian Association is seeking to restrict your right to carry. And basically, they've put on their agenda the desire to allow libraries to opt out of allowing citizens to defend themselves or carry. So basically, it'd be up to the library if they want to be a gun-free zone or not. And I think that's,
well, I mean, that crazy. That makes sense with all the library crime that's going on.
I guess, man. I mean,
I've never seen a book like a gang break into a library and demand books.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's just it's crazy because if I'm not mistaken, Missouri has constitutional carry, so it's like they've already, people can carry around and they're not having spikes in crime or any of that stuff, you know. And yet the libraries think that they feel unsafe now, and that
has anybody ever stuck up a library?
I don't have any idea, but I don't think that it should arbitrarily be decided just on like the couple of people that work there can decide if they want it to be a gun-free zone or not. But anyways, that sums up everything that took place in December.
Well, I got one more thing that I'd like to add. I mean, I don't know. I think you guys probably heard about this. I talked about it on Edge's show on Friday, was that Pennsylvania City Council banned bulletproof glass in convenience stores and beer delis. Basically, the Asian Market Association objected, but that they're these convenience stores that are open 24 hours, and they, instead of having guns for their staff, they just serve food and beer or anything, whatever it is, laundry detergent, cotton balls.
It's a convenience store.
Yeah, it's a convenience store that's open late nights in dangerous areas, and they serve everything through bulletproof glass, and they open up the little, it's like a bank teller where everything's by bulletproof. And so they're banning bulletproof glass, so these store owners that have their life savings invested in the store, they don't even want a gun. They just want bulletproof glass. And then the city's, the government comes and says, you can't have bulletproof plexiglass.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. And I think if that, well, I think it did go through, but if that like gets enforced and everyone takes away the bulletproof glass, I think the first, and this is a sad thing to say, but like the first clerk that gets shot, their family should not only sue the city, but sue like
the legislature.
There's some lady, but like there's a specific person who.
Yeah, the city council lady that did that. Yeah.
Yeah, is go after her and be like, you're responsible for this.
She said plexiglass, bulletproof glass is racist. That's literally what she said. And I was like, how can you deal with that level of stupidity? And it's just.
Right, and I will say this though.
Locally here, it had no public support that I saw.
I've seen a thing about it where, I think you even mentioned something about the Asian group or whatever. I have seen people say that make getting rid of the bulletproof glass, it's, you know, racist against Koreans or something. I don't buy that argument at all. I wish they never would have made that argument. The argument should be, don't tell us the best way to be safe. If we feel safe doing a certain thing, we should be allowed to do that certain thing to be safe.
Yeah, I think it was the argument was racist against, I don't know, some other minority, not the Asians behind the glass. But
especially with passive safety devices. It's like, so our cashiers now, so since we can't have the bullet-resistant plexiglass, we now have to get them bullet-resistant vests. Is that going to be our new uniform of the day?
Right. I think just out of the whole, like, to show how ridiculous it is or whatever, if, especially, I don't know the exact wording, but if it's specifically bulletproof glass, I'd be like, all right. And this also, if I had money to throw around, I'd take the glass out and put up AR-500 plates and then put a little slidey thing, like have the same where you got to go through the door and all the stuff. But just be like, hey, you said I couldn't have glass, so I decided to put up steel. Like, does that make everyone feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just telling people what they can and can't do. Yeah. It's like it's this government wants to do something. They're supposed to come to the people and ask for permission. The people shouldn't have to go to the government and get a licensing guy from the city to approve whatever. I mean, plexiglass in their stores. It's just backwards government.
Right. Well, speaking of
the government, it's tyranny, is what it is. It's tyranny.
Beat is asking on the Instagram side where that glass, bulletproof glass, was getting banned.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, in Philadelphia. And it's really just a tactic to drive those businesses out because they think they serve too much alcohol or whatever.
And it's a zoning. Instead of passing a zoning law to get rid of these businesses, they want to drive them out because I think they think drug dealers are in there late night ordering alcohol, and all their the drug dealers' clients are waiting outside of the stores and at the wee hours of the morning. So who knows? I mean, that's a whole. If they're dealing drugs, then you that's the crime that you arrest them for. You don't get the store owners because they have plexiglass.
And you punish the criminals. You don't punish the owner.
Yeah, I mean, they're just selling food, and basically they have a license to operate a restaurant, and that lets them sell beer and stuff. And so they think they're actually operating as a bar instead of a restaurant. And it's like, I don't know. But the way they did it is all wrong. I mean, it's tyrannical. So,
well, obviously. So I'd like to steer this just a little bit. And
okay,
we had a good jumping off point a second ago when you had mentioned the government should listen to the people. Okay, we're the people. They should listen to us. Since it's the first Every Second Matters of the year, 2018, what should we be telling them? If we're going to force them to listen to us, we kind of touched on it earlier in this show, I think the most important thing for this year to get done before any other election stuff takes place, because, you know, it might, the numbers of pro and anti-gun people might change out after elections. We have to pass share. We have to call these people every single day and say, pass share. What the heck is wrong with you? Pass share.
All right.
I agree with Smeggy.
Well, that's nice. Could you explain to everybody what share is?
Well, share is the Sportsman Hunting Recreational Act Enforcement or something. Share. I messed up the letters. Whatever. But basically, there's a lot of stuff in there, like little things about hunting things or whatever. And the number one biggest chunk in there is the Hearing Protection Act has been wrapped up into it. And that would basically take suppressors off of the NFA. You would no longer need to have a tax stamp. They would still be considered a firearm. So you'd still have to do a 4473 and buy it as if it was a gun. But it's at least a huge step in the right direction from not having to do the tax stamp, pay the extra money for the tax stamp, have the extra waiting time, have all the other burdens that go along with it, as in when you take it out of state and you have to write letters and inform people and all that stuff. Makes it easier to transfer it from one to, you know, all
the, I'm gonna have to read everything that it was wrapped up with, though, because I got to admit I'm not up to everything in that bill. I mean, I like the part what you're explaining about the suppressors, but I'm gonna have to actually read the entire bill to see.
Yeah, I remember going through it before, and off the top of my head, I can't tell you what some of the other things are, but they were things similar to this particular land out in North Dakota should be open for hunting, and this thing about waterfowl should change. Or like, it was a lot of kind of just hunting and sporting type things. I don't remember anything jumping out at me as going, oh, they're trying to sneak this in, like this is actually bad. It was all kind of pro hunting, pro gun type stuff.
Yeah, thanks, G Webs. He just posted a link in the internal, the Share Act, HR 3668. So I got some more reading to do tonight or now.
And then I would say, I think one of the other things, and I know support for this is kind of up and down, and I'm still, I guess, not 100% how I feel about it anymore, but the national reciprocity. Now, I know it passed the House, but it passed with the fixed NICS thing attached to it. And that one is kind of bad. And I know a lot of people think that like the national reciprocity is a step forward and the fixed NICS is like five steps back. I personally think reciprocity is a step forward. Fixed NICS is half a step back. So I think we still win if we pass it together.
Well, can't the Senate
get decoupled?
Yeah, can't the Senate
pass reciprocity?
Can't the Senate do that in reconciliation or something if they?
I believe so. And that's one of the things. The fear is that they're going to decouple it and then only pass NICS and let reciprocity rot on the vine. And that would be the bad outcome. But again, they're not going to do that if they hear from you.
You know what's in Share? Just reading Share here while you're talking. A film crew of five persons or fewer for a commercial film crew of five persons or fewer, an annual fee insufficient to cover the administrative costs of issuing permits, but not greater than $200. For all lands and waterways, you have to get a 1-year permit.
What title is that? I'm looking at Gray Wolves Hearing Protection.
Is that good or bad?
A $200 permit to be able to film on federal land?
Second,
so photography or video, that's a lot of money.
Where is that in the bill, please?
At the bottom, the one of the last ones.
One of the last ones at the bottom. Streamlining a permit.
I guess it would be Title 18.
But that's only applying to a film crew, not an individual.
Five persons or less.
Boy, this is a gigantic is piece of legislation.
Is one a film crew since it's less than five?
Yeah.
Filming commercially.
What if you have 10 people?
Then it's probably already covered. You probably already have to pay a fee.
See, five persons are bigger. That's almost going to be a production crew, though. Even like a news crew
is going to be. I got to say, I don't know about the crew, but this bill is ginormous. I mean, I'm just
mostly
trying to
has to do with it. It mostly has to do. I mean, there's a lot of extensions to Pittman Robertson and all that. It really has. Most of it has to do with hunting and that sort of thing.
I'm just saying this bill is one of those bills that I'm afraid to support because it's just. I mean. It's like one of those you have to vote for it to see what's in it. I mean, there could be some clause in here that's
right there. It's all right there.
I know, but can I translate from this gobbledygook to common sense of what it means?
I mean,
there's a lot of it.
Talking with somebody that understands the gobbledygook, yeah.
Well, I got a lot of reading to do tonight, it looks like, all this stuff. Thanks, I think.
Well, being well informed is always a good thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's work. I mean, hey, freedom is work. So, I mean, nothing in life is free. So you got to work for it. So I guess at least I can just read all this. See if I'm gonna, if there's anything I did strikes me as wrong. I'm just going to do a lot of work. Okay.
So what else is on our 2018 wish list? I know one thing, I cannot remember what it is, but there was something that was getting rid of sporting use. Was that in share also, or was that a separate one?
No, that's in share.
Okay, that's in share also. So that's another reason to support share. Along with all the gobbledygook.
Share's also very pro-range, by the way, too. It actually amends Pittman Robertson to include all the range funding and all that stuff to for target ranges, not just for, like, you know, wildlife and hunting, sighting in wildlife hunting safety ranges and stuff like that. So
that's one thing we haven't been able to get out here in the Big Island yet.
Well, maybe if this passes, you can, because the
shooting range
regulation will go down a little bit.
I'll believe that when I see it. Somebody says HVS, the gun range is open, and you don't need your hunting license. Like, okay, happy days are here again. All right.
So, what else are we getting past this year? Something new that hasn't even been introduced yet, and it's something good. Get rid of all the NFA completely. That'd be good.
The SBR Act of 2018.
Is that an act?
No, not yet.
It is as soon as Moon writes it.
Yeah, they come up with a better name.
Well, get on that.
The ATF go do whatever. Yeah.
Just remember the name needs to be totally opposite or having nothing to do with what the field contains.
Yeah, the Low Velocity AR-15 Act.
The furry friendly Christmas toy gun cookie act.
What you would do is you would name it the Getting Rid of All AR Pistols Act, because what would be the point of having an AR pistol if you could actually have a legal SBR, right? So you name it the Getting Rid of All AR Pistols Act, and then, of course, the liberals don't read it because they just read the title and they're like, oh, heck yeah, get rid of those AR pistols, right? So they vote for it, and then essentially, basically, it just turns all your AR pistols.
We need to write some pro-gun legislation and call it the Clinton Act.
Just in summary,
we'll have both of those.
Essentially, we have two.
together. We have the SHARE Act, and then we have, granted, there's some other things attached, as well as National Reciprocity that has some other things attached that we would like to see passed in this year. Those are the two major things we would like to see.
What about on the state level? I know there's been some stuff in California. They're already challenging, you know, the online ammo ban and the different, like, the assault weapon featureless ban thing or whatever the heck. I'm sorry, guys, my brain is not working well. But you guys know what I'm talking about. So there's been some challenges to that. Do you think that that will possibly go through over the next year? I think that has to go through the courts, though. Courts tend to act...
The Ninth Circuit will never do anything to... I mean, the only act I want to happen is California is for my parents to move out of California, move to Arizona.
Anything judicial is always a multi-year process, regardless of whether it's going to succeed or not. It's going to take several years.
Yeah, it's like watching a snail race and cheering, and then, like, when the snails get to the end, the Ninth Circuit just steps on them or spoke or something.
What about more states getting constitutional carry? I know Michigan's been trying to get it for quite some time now, and it gets reintroduced every new session, and sometimes it goes kind of far, sometimes it only goes halfway.
Are there different flavors of constitutional carry? Because we were talking about earlier about how Missouri had this librarians thing and them wanting to get an exemption. If they have constitutional carry, that would not be the case.
Well, constitutional carry doesn't erase all gun-free zones. Constitutional carry just means you can carry concealed without a permit, but you still have to follow all the same things, like can't go into courts and can't go into this, that, or the other place.
Well, that are federal, yes.
Well, I mean, you still have to follow the state level stuff. So if your state says libraries are off, you know, off limits, then constitutional carry, or if you have a permit or open carry or anything, you can't go into a library.
Give me John Maynard Keats or give me death, right? I mean, it's
but either way, I mean, the constitutional carry pretty much just says, like, anything that people could have done with a permit, a law-abiding citizen can do without a permit. But you still have to fight, like, each individual gun-free zone or each individual regulation as you go. So, anyways, I would hope to see, because, I mean, more and more states are getting it, and they're not turning into bloodbaths. Their crime is not going up. I mean, we all know this kind of stuff. I don't know how much more evidence you need to be able to throw into the anti-gunner's face, because it doesn't, no matter what, every single time something either goes to open carry or, you know, shall issue or like any step towards pro carrying and pro freedom, they say, oh, people will shoot each other in parking lots and there'll be blood in the streets and blah, 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 blah. They've been saying it for 20 years now.
You know, I wish that they would have done the same thing that Hannity did at the end of the year with stupid things that was on CNN and MSNBC that the broadcaster said about Trump. And they did like just a compilation of just stupid things. Like it was like a 5-minute compilation of stupid things that every broadcaster said about Trump or Russia or something. And if they did the same thing with about that anti-gunners, the same stupid things that they've said. It's just, it would make a great montage. I think we should do that kind of a video. We need to do a lot of, videos off of YouTube.
I like that idea, and I will encourage anyone listening or anyone in here that, you know, wants to make a video like that. That's awesome. Go ahead and do it. That sounds cool. But I would just suggest is, like, not only just put the stupid stuff of where we all look at it and kind of snicker to ourselves and laugh and go, aha, shoulder thing that goes up, that person's dumb, teehee, is combine that with then an explanation for maybe like the regular folk or the people who aren't really gun people to say, why are we laughing at them? Like, why do we think this is so ridiculous? There is no such thing as a ghost gun 30 clipazine, blah, 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 whatever. you know, there is no such thing as this, that, or the other, or the crime doesn't go up when you increase carry. All these types of things, like educational stuff, which, again, we're probably preaching to the choir of, we all do this anyways, but I think that's a good idea. I like the
you have to hoist them on their own petard when they say stupid things over and over again, and but getting all the video footage together would be a lot of work.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen stuff like that where it's just been, you know, 5 or 6 clips over the years, but again, that putting that educational piece in there, so the dude that's at your office that doesn't really know anything about guns, and he goes, "Hey, how come you're laughing?" He'd be like, "Oh, watch this video." And then, you know, it's explaining that type of stuff. Because I think sometimes we forget there are plenty of people that could be allies, could fight with us. They're not anti-gun. They just don't know any better. There are plenty of people like that. And instead of just writing them off and calling them stupid or whatever, because maybe they say something that, you know, sounds anti-gun, and then you go, well, have you ever, like, do you know this, or do you know that, or have you ever really thought about it? Because some people, for everything they've never thought about, they just have a default position, and that they're just, oh, yeah, guns are bad because I've never thought about it, and, you know, I like Democrat tax plan, therefore I like their opinion of guns. And then until they think about it, and they go, oh, I disagree with that part of it. So there's always work to be done, that type of stuff.
To answer G-Web's question, the first step is to get the footage together on a hard drive or of the raw footage from the internet, basically, of anti-gunners saying stupid things. And then after you grab all that footage, is to get the most ridiculous things they've said and edit them together into one video. So it's going to require, I mean, they said a lot of dumb things this last year. So it's just for us to go out and find them and then gather all the footage, like download the videos and then edit it together into one consecutive montage of stupid things that anti-gunners have said. So first thing you have to do is gather all the footage. It's easier if you're like Fox News and you have a newsroom where you could just, you know, a staff of people to do it. We're more like the Borg. We just have to get everybody working on something like that.
Well, exactly, though. I mean, you kind of just mentioned it, is that we're not Fox News, right? We're not completely organized like that, but we have just as many people that should be out there and willing to work towards a common goal.
Yeah. I mean, the editing is easy, but it's a lot of work finding every dumb thing that every anti-gunner has said. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of them, so it's just a question of going through archive footage for hours.
Yeah, but it can be done.
Yeah, and downloading everything and then putting it all in one place where somebody can edit it together. And I'm certainly willing to do that. So you'd have to just visit all the usual suspects and put it all together. It was so funny, though, when I saw what Hannity, with that montage on Hannity with all the broadcasters. It was the year end of stupid things that they said about Trump. And
all right, well, Yankee jumped in. Yankee's been part of Gun Every Second Matters since we started this thing over on the YouTube chats. I believe it was November 2013. We're going into our fourth year doing Every Second Matters. Thanks for jumping in. Eventually we'll get his audio going. I don't know if you can hear us.
What? Who are you talking to now?
Oh, yeah. Now we hear him.
Thanks for jumping in.
Oh, thanks. I'm trying to figure out my monitor here. I rearranged my setup. But now I'm trying to figure things out here. I had to get a new monitor. My little monitor that I kept off to the side went out. So, what, Zyler? There you're going. Dan's trying to.
This is asking if there's any news on the most Second Amendment or pro Second Amendment candidate for governor in Michigan.
No, no, I'm not.
I don't know. I don't know who is running in Michigan.
All right.
I mean, we've had Rick Snyder, and he's been okay. Like, he's passed some stuff, and then other things, he's decided that, no, that I don't feel like doing that. So he's been, like, kind of pro-gun.
All right, so we got 21 people watching. We've been going for more than an hour now, and at the top of the hour, Ghost will be doing his show. Everybody jumped out to go over there. But I noticed the Tech Daddy was chatting on the YouTube side. I don't know if he accepted the link or not, but he's been saying that there's no, let me go back and quote him. Let's see, I don't know how it started up here. I think he just said, nothing will pass in favor of gun owners this year, period, no thing. And then I said something to the effect of, you can ensure that happens by doing nothing. And then it went on from there. So, because he sees no future in the HR 38 or perhaps the share or any of them, I guess, if he says no thing will pass, is our only potential gain to pass bills? Is it simply black and white? I contend, like I've said earlier, that if we can organize a community to raise a fuss and to raise commotion beyond the average, beyond the typical, beyond the expected response, then the political strategists, the people who decide what the agenda is going to be for upcoming things, and it's time to plan, is it going to be something about healthcare? Is it going to be about, you know, inflation or something? Is it going to be about guns? I think that we can have influence on those decisions in the future. I don't think that our only gain is to win every battle. I think that in the long run, we're all here for the very long run, that we, that there's value in putting effort forth, and that there's something to be gained besides simply a win, and that we can ensure that we'll get nothing accomplished if we look at the political forecast and say, yeah, everybody's correct. There's no chance for this. So let's go back to whatever you do.
We aren't going to win every battle. It's like the Terminator said, you have to keep on fighting.
Also, I think our biggest thing isn't going to be legislative wins. It's going to be court wins, just like it has been in the recent past. So we have to keep an organized and motivated society of pro-gun people, or organization of pro-gun people, that keep working, keep acting, helping push forward these lawsuits, helping organizations that do put forward these lawsuits, like GOA, because all of our biggest wins in the last 30 years have been legislative. And I hope that HR 38 passes. I'm not going to say that it's a sure thing. In fact, it's a very unlikely thing, which is why I think we need to try harder than ever to get it passed. It needs all the effort we can possibly muster. But I still think our biggest wins, like I said, are going to come from the court systems.
We just had two of them. Well, we just had the two cases be just, what do you call that? They did not accept them or whatever they
declined. Yep, declined to hear the case,
and so that means we got to have new cases come up through the courts to the Supreme Court again.
Well, often on cases like the ones that they didn't hear, they have to wait until there's like an equal number of cases one way and an equal number of cases the other way, because then they step in and actually feel they need to clarify. And some of those aren't to that point yet. And sometimes they just don't hear something now, like they did it with gay marriage too. They don't want to hear it now because they're like, we don't think people want to hear what we have to say yet, and we don't think it's the right time to say it, so we're going to wait a little bit and see if it gets worked out in lower courts first. So we'll have to see, but like I said, I still think the judiciary is our best chance at Second Amendment issues. And now we've got Gorsuch in the Supreme Court. Doesn't change much because, you know, he just basically replaces Scalia, but as far as national judges or federal judges, we're seeing a lot more pro Second Amendment friendly judges appointed right now. So we'll have to see how things go here in the near future.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I mentioned a little bit earlier of the California challenging, you know, that all those laws that came down all at once last year took effect, you know, yesterday. No, but I'll be watching those. It'd be interesting to see how that goes.
Well, got a lot of work to do, and yeah, we can continue to do what we've been doing. We continue to try to change things. We can do our thing. So there's no answers, but there's always going to be an Every Second Matters on the second day every month. Anybody want to plug anything else before we head out?
No, but I am going to KFC, so I got to go. I will be open carrying. I'll be open carrying my cig while I'm going to KFC.
Right on.
We'll pick up dinner. I'll see you all later.
You bet.
Yep. See you, Yankee.
Thanks for stopping by.
I would just like to, there you go. I would just like to mention that we didn't talk about it much in this particular episode, but I still think the middle ground people can be won. You know, the people you work with, your family, friends of a friend, your neighbor, you know, all that type of stuff. The media likes to talk about how evil and scary we all are. And when you put a human face on us, we're not evil, we're not scary. And, they'll be less likely to be tricked when the news comes out and says, we got to get rid of this stuff because you can't trust people to have these. And they say, well, I know Joe and he's got one. He's a nice guy. You know, that type of stuff. So that's a battle I think that's always going on. And that's a society battle.
It's a bad idea to have the government telling people what they can and can't do.
So, we're talking, there's all kinds of stuff going on the YouTube side. Let me go check on the Gun Channel side. A little bit going on the Gun Channel side as well. But the topics are going all over the place. There's definitely, we're going to continue to have adjustment with learning how to work together. And that's one of those things that we're going to have. And everybody's got different levels of energy and different positions and attitudes. But right now they're talking a bit about California and a little bit of frustration, and then the typical, without calling out anybody, the frustration of the people in California, and then the typical California is beyond whatever. But again, you can ignore the fact that California started all kinds of stupid things that have leached out of it, and they continue to inspire and encourage their kind of laws in other states. So I think that meme that's out there of the people in a boat with the people on the part of the boat that is not yet wet, laughing at the people at the side of the boat with the hole in it that are bailing. I think that's an apt analogy for what we've got in California. We let them peril on their own, perish on their own at our own peril. At least that's the way I see it.
I think the problem isn't with California. It's just the problem is the Ninth Circuit. It's just sad.
The Ninth Circuit is an issue, but California is in there. So is a lot of the states. But it's two different fights. When we're talking Second Amendment stuff, we're always going to have issues with the environment that it's in, and the Ninth Circuit is one of those pieces of the environment. But, all right, so we are trying to end it up here so we don't go too long. There are other shows going on today. I continue to do this even though there's people out there who I consider interesting people to communicate with who have no interest in being part of it anymore, but like to point out our flaws and our cracks, and that's fine. We do have them. I don't think anybody's trying to put on a filter that looks like there aren't cracks, but I'm looking for ways to succeed. Even, who cares if we got cracks in a foundation? You can still build skyscrapers on stuff that might not be perfect. And if it crumbles, then you learn something, you keep going. But it's super simple to stand on the sidelines and just complain about everything, and we'll continue to make this effort for people that are on the other side of that and that like to put in some work, or at least watch people putting in work and help. Maybe it's just interesting for people to watch. So we'll move along and end it up, and encourage you to come back next time and be part of it. It's just a awareness campaign. Always interested in hearing what people do. I guess we didn't even talk about this week or this month. What people did. Yankee talked about wearing an open carry, wearing a 2A t-shirt. He probably wears a 2A t-shirt most days, though. Anybody else do anything
for the second, besides Smeggy putting in all kinds of time research and the info that he brings up?
Well, I can say out in the real world, I did not do much just because I worked, traveled, and then I've been sick all day. But although I think I talked about guns at the airport with the guy I work with. So that counts for anyone who's walking by. It was just kind of basic stuff. But again, that normalizes it. I like doing that kind of stuff.
I think I'm properly displaying my American flag on my lanai, and I did a little bushcrafting thing to make sure it's fully, the wind doesn't sag how it's displayed with a little, I cut a notch in a piece of bamboo, and so it looks great. The Burj Khalifa was built on like sandstone, and that's like the tallest skyscraper in the world. So, it's just about making sure that the next guy that comes along has freedom and liberty, and that it just, this is a land of liberty where the people are in charge.
Great way to say it.
I'm going to say my reason/excuse is not only is today the second, it's 2 degrees outside, so I did nothing.
It's 81 here, guys. You should have bugged out to Hawaii. I've heard that it's basically 96% of the country is below zero, so or something like that. Or no, 96% of the country is freezing, is what it is. And there's another cold front coming in by the end of the week.
In addition to Dano not doing anything necessarily today, I'm sure you did stuff throughout the month, and you're here, so appreciate that. Moon, anything?
Yeah.
Today I've done nothing but carry my gun to and from work.
Right on. I want to thank Antonio out there. We don't see him very often, but it's good to see people weighing in on both sides when people are going to come in out of nowhere and sling poop. It's always nice to have somebody to equal that out and say some positive stuff. So thanks. Appreciate that. All right. So try to make this thing interactive. What does that end up with? It's not scripted. So, you know, try to keep our, try to keep our positivity going in light of the stuff that's going to happen live. I guess we're stupid because it's not like this stuff changes. But I'm convinced that over time, we do see new people join the group, the awareness campaign. People like Dano and Smeggy been around for a while now. Moon for a long time. Appreciate that. Those are the framework that keeps it going and the people that join and discover it. Even if you don't stick around for a long time, it's not a commune or nothing. You don't have to be a part of it. But as long as you're aware of it and if you can figure out a way to, if you encounter it and you figure out a way to do it something better, then please do so. Even if you don't, you know, buy a patch or wear something or do something on the second, if you just know that there's people out there that are thinking about the Second Amendment, then at least you're a little bit more aware. So hopefully we've done something. And I'm convinced that 2018 might be a time for change. I've said it before in other videos, and I'll keep saying it. People are being pushed off of YouTube. That means considerable resources are being expended towards creating new platforms out there. And what better time to exercise the power of a platform than pushing something like the SHARE Act or HR 38 or any of the others? We see a lot of push about the organizations out there. And, you know, again, everything does better when it has accurate and, when it's not an echo chamber, when it actually has some sort of criticism, that the word. So things do better, especially organizations, when they're criticized. If everybody's just a bunch of yes men, it tends to turn into garbage, and that might be what we're dealing with right now. Might not. There might be more to it. But it'll all work itself out, of course. And like HBS said, liberty will be the thing that is, you know, resides in the end, I believe.
You know, I don't know if it's my imagination, but I found that if I do a few beer reviews, then the Google bots leave me alone and they don't ban my gun stuff later on if I do a gun video. So
interesting. So they like a little bit more well-rounded stuff, perhaps? Or like, well,
I think it just throws off the bots. If I do beer reviews, they'll be like, wait, this is a beer channel. This isn't a gun channel. And then that's why I could sneak in. Then I could talk about guns and the bots won't automatically, instantly ban me or take me out of their search results or something. I don't
know. No, we talk about that kind of stuff all the time over on Gun Channels. So if you're interested in that, check it out. Otherwise, remember our Second Amendment every once in a while. Thanks for watching.